Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to episode number 80 of Preparing for the Inevitable, a podcast on how to handle trouble. Pardon me, a podcast on how to handle trouble, suffering, pain, and death. I am your host, Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast will help you get ready to face the inevitable unpleasant things that will happen in your life. Things such as trouble, suffering, sickness, pain, and death. Not only the death of people you love and know, but your own death. Trouble, suffering, pain, and death are common threads that run throughout all of humanity because of our sinful nature and our sinful choices. They are inescapable. You will never meet a person who has not, is not, or will not experience these terrible things in life. Yet we attempt to hide from these inevitabilities, to pretend that they don't exist or that they won't happen to us. Our world is filled with news of people dying, children crying and suffering. As I speak, in the wee hours of the morning right now, it is 5:40 a.m. Central Time in Texas. We have seen them in the daytime, but they are still there at night in Del Rio, Texas. Thousands of homeless Haitian people who have traveled hundreds of miles on foot to get to where they are, with little babies, 300 plus women who are pregnant. Our world is filled with news of people dying, children crying and suffering, entire government systems and organizations enduring trouble and turmoil. But we tend to see these as things that only happen to other people and never to us, which is a tragedy. Trouble, suffering, and death come equally to all people of all races, from every socioeconomic status, of every religion, in every country of the world. It makes us all very equal, doesn't it? This podcast will show you how to accept these realities of life and not just cope, but face them. Face trouble, face suffering and death in your own life. Deal with it. And in the world, with confidence, courage, class, and most of all, with faith, hope, and charity, so that you can be a blessing to others. God is all about, if you read the Holy Scriptures, once you have gone through, help somebody else go through. Glory be to God. And when you do that, when you go through a painful time, and God uses you and prepares you to help other people to go through a painful time, therein lies your healing. Beloved, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The featured quote for this episode is from Dr. George Swinock. He said, a godly man is free from the sting, but not from the stroke, from the curse, but not from the cross of death. Very good and very deep and very powerful and very true that statement is. Beloved, our topic for today is titled Introducing the Young to the Old, from the book The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come by Dr. Rob Mall. Joyce found it natural to put aside some personal goals in order to care for her parents. It came as a result of her upbringing. She was introduced to the elderly and even the dying from a young age. She grew up with a blind elderly aunt sharing her bedroom. Personally, I've learned to be intentional with my own children about creating opportunities for them to interact with the elderly. Going to dinner at great-grandma's assisted living home is a wonderful opportunity to introduce them to a group of elderly residents. We eat dinner and great-grandma's friends stop by to say hello. Afterward, we all sit outside and watch the kids play in puddles. Something beautiful happens when the old and young interact. Though there is nothing particularly special about a single visit or dinner, it is in these casual interactions that our children can learn to value the elderly, treasure time with them, and learn practical ways to care for them as they age and face death. Our family has taken this another step, and when choosing a church, we've sought out an intergenerational congregation. It's certainly tempting to go to a church that attracts mostly people our age. Such churches are an easy fit, lots of people our age to befriend, and lots of programs for children our children's age. Yet an intergenerational congregation allows our children exposure to the whole continuum of life, if you will. Together as a community of faith, we bless infants, celebrate marriages, and mourn deaths in these churches. If our children never attend a funeral until they are in middle age, have we really equipped them to deal with death's realities? If we are to change how our culture and the church view death and the dying, we must first start at home. Family relationships. Despite her evident care and respect for the elderly, on two occasions, Joyce Tompkins had reasonable excuses to be unable to care for her parents. When her father had a stroke, she had just graduated from college and was ready to pursue a new career. By the time her mother became ill, Joyce lived hundreds of miles away and was in graduate school. The expense of commuting home every week and paying tuition must have been a significant burden. Yet she placed a priority on caring for her family and taking up the responsibility that Joyce's parents had taught her was hers. You never know when you're going to need a drink of water, she says. Often in our culture, it is necessary to move away from family in order to pursue a career. Whether a company moves its offices, a local industry closes, or educational opportunities are elsewhere. We are a mobile people. While we move from place to place, we also must recognize the duties that are still ours. While Joyce's commitment to caring for her mother didn't mean that she stopped her studies, it did mean hopping on a plane every week. Cultivating close family relationships means recognizing and accepting the extra work that will be required of us when we live far away. For others, it may mean taking extra vacation time to maintain relationships with family or care for relatives, whether we live down the street or across the country from our loved ones. We must be willing and prepared to assist them when they need our care. My beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will look at support systems in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, prepare all of us for the painful things of life, the strange things of life, and ultimately death of our family members and our death. Prepare us, Lord, for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, I still love you. And to the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial service, family members. This is Daniel White III, pardon me, something went off on one of my phones, let's try that again. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense, podcast number 886, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and from the eternal burning hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in his gospel that he preached first and best when he said the most loving, most wonderful, and most important words to mankind ever spoken, recorded in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have not done that, my dear friend, do that now. Today, dear friends, we are reading Zechariah chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Grant us your energy, your strength, your unction, your grace, and the power of your Holy Spirit, and to read it, have it impact our lives for good, as always. And Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to comprehend it. And help us, Lord, to obey it and to apply it to our lives and to teach it to others in a discipleship way and to preach your holy gospel from it. Even at the end of this episode, Lord, while people listen to the gospel, help them to come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought low, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Beloved, that was Zechariah chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it. From with the help of the Holy Ghost and from the Bible knowledge commentary, which reads, "In regathering Israel to the land, God will remove every obstacle to restoration. Pictured in terms of the ancient deliverance, when he brought Israel through the sea on dry land. Again, Assyria and Egypt were mentioned to represent all Israel's enemies. The prophecy closes with its opening phrase, "I will strengthen them," so that Israel's behavior walk will be in his name. That is, she will glorify him by obeying him. That is, she will glorify him by obeying him. That is, she will glorify him by obeying him. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to glorify you and to show our love for you by obeying you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.
Now, dear friend of mine, please understand that after you die, you will be ushered into one of two places to spend eternity, heaven or hell. Here's how you can be sure that you will not go to hell and suffer eternal damnation forever, and rather have a home in heaven when you die. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, I am the chief of sinners." So don't think that you're alone. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Fourth, accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Fifth, accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these truths in mind, dear friend, please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul this very moment, and he will. The Bible states in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from sin and hell and change my life today and forever. Amen. Beloved, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have indeed done the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Remember, dear friend, believe by faith, share the faith, and keep the faith. God bless you.